What a blessing. How many of you glad the old man's dead? How many of you wish he was? Well, it got a little quiet right there. I have to restab mine every now and then. Amen. Just when I think he's dead, he wants to rise up again. Amen. But I'm glad ultimately he's dead. Amen. There's been a change. There's a little song the kids sing. There's been a change. There's been a great change since I got born again. Amen. It is good to be saved. Take your Bible and find 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Where are you going, Brother Anthony? We fixing to get started. Okay. Amen. Amen. Hey, I appreciate these guys staying up in the choir and these fellas sitting on the platform. They're not doing this to look good because this bunch on the platform couldn't if they tried. But they're doing this to make a little extra room in the sanctuary, and I appreciate that. But I'm weird. I'm not used to people being behind me. I feel like, Brother Fred, it's a Sanhedrin court back here. Amen. And I think Brother Charles just wants to see my outline. I ain't sure. But anyway, it is a blessing. Hey, please do try to be here every night this week. And I tell you what would be good, if we just go ahead and start revival right now. If we just start revival right now. A lot of times I think church signs that say revival, such and such date through such and such date, I think it's false advertisement. Yeah. Amen. I think a lot of times when we tell family or friends we had revival at church last week, a lot of times we say that and we lie. Because really all we had was a meeting. We had some singing and we had a visiting preacher, but nothing changed in our hearts. If you look up the definition of revival, it's pretty self-explanatory. It means to rekindle or to stir up something that is already in you. How many of you saved this morning? Show me your hand. Thank God, man. Listen, the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let me ask you again, how many of you saved this morning? We ought to shout about that. But you know what the problem is? We've been saved too long. We need reviving. Amen. I believe America needs reviving. But it's not going to start on a street corner. It's going to start in the church house. It's not going to start in Washington. I listen to talk radio, and listen, I don't care what side of the aisle you stand, blue or red, donkey, elephant, it doesn't matter to me. But let me tell you something. Everything ain't Obama's fault. Some of y'all looking at me crazy. I'm going to say it again. That thing was a mess before he went in there. I know it's a bigger mess now. Amen. But the answer's not down there in Washington. The answer's right here in this altar and in this pulpit. That's where the answer is. America needs help. And bless God, we've got what it needs, and that is the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm telling you, we need revival. So a lot of people are praying for the next election. I'm praying for this revival. Amen. I'm praying that it start right here at Happy Valley Baptist Church and spread throughout this country, and this country would get on fire for God again. Amen. I read about the old revivals of the 1800s and the revivalists that traveled the country. And I read about those meetings and how the thousands were saved and liquor stores were closed and prostitute houses were closed up. Hard to have a house of ill repute when all the prostitutes get saved. Amen. I don't think God's dead. I read that stuff and I get a little jealous, Brother Jason. I believe God can do that again. And I don't just believe he can, I believe he will. It's not up to God. He's already decided he wants his people to be right. He wants his people to be excited. He wants his people to be fired up. It's up to us whether or not we want to receive it. Here's the problem with revival. Revival means change. Revival means going back to the way you were. Not before you got saved, but after you got saved. If I were to ask the question right now, how many of you are as close to God right now as you have ever been, unless you just recently got saved, I would just about bet that no hands would raise in this building. If you are as close to God right now as you have ever been, do you remember a time when you were more excited about the things of God than you are right now? We need revival. We need revival. I need revival. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the preaching. I'm excited about the singing. But more than that, I'm excited about the possibility of what God may do in this room. Normally on Sunday morning, I preach salvation. But this morning, I'm going to preach to the church and tell you, you need revival. We need revival. We need to get our hearts where they ought to be with God. Amen. I'll read some scripture in a minute. I'm waiting for my throat to catch up a little bit. I'm having a hard time. But listen, I remember when I was a kid, Brother Charles, people would come during a revival meeting or just a regular church service, and they'd lay on the altar, and you could sit three quarters of the way back in the church and hear them weeping and hear them crying, and you're thinking, boy, I wonder if they're getting saved. I wonder what's going on. And they'd stand up, and the preacher would let them testify, and here's what they'd say: I just rededicated my life to God. I just rededicated my life to God. You know what that is, friend? That's a revival. Yeah. Amen. Hey, when these babies are born, we have a baby dedication. We ought to have a church member rededication this morning. Yeah. Amen. You know what salvation is? Salvation is a relationship. Let me say it again. Salvation is a relationship. If you're saved, that means you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My wife and I, some 30 years ago, 31 now, is it 30? Anyway, she ain't here, so I can say anything I want. Amen. She's probably at home, curled up on the couch, listening on the radio. She's not feeling well this morning. But some 30 years ago, we got married. We stood in the altar at the old Happy Valley, or at White Oak, before Brother J.M. Brooks, and we repeated our vows. You know what I said to her? I promised to love, to honor and cherish you in this relationship, and leaving all others, cleave only unto you, and to be true to you in all things, a true and a faithful husband, so long as we both shall live. I made that promise. But as time goes on, the honeymoon wears off. Amen. When you first started dating, you would open the door for her. Now it's all she can do to get in before you take off. Amen. My wife was sitting in the back seat. We were driving Brother Caleb and Miss Jasmine's car up there in Colorado, and I got in. They got one of them little cars that you don't even put a key in. You just push a button. That's pretty cool. And anyway, I got in and I pushed the button, and my wife started screaming at me. She said, "I ain't in yet." I said, "I know. That's why I'm trying to get out of here." No, I didn't say that. She said, "I ain't in yet." I said, "It's in park. I ain't going nowhere." She was afraid I was fixing to take off. What's that tell you? She was probably speaking from experience. But there was a time in our relationship when I knew she was in the car because I put her in the car. Amen. But as time goes on, you begin to take that relationship for granted. While you were in the dating and the wooing, you know what wooing means? Trying to convince her you're the one. Trying to convince her you're all that in a bag of chips. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all are all that in a sack of taters. Amen. But we go to all those depths. That woman, she'll stand in front of a mirror for an hour and a half. It's a wonder they got hair left on their heads, much as they comb it, straighten it, curl it. I'm like, why you need a straightening iron and a curling iron? Blowing it, straightening it, combing it, curling it, painting it. But boy, after that relationship wears off, or that newness wears off and that honeymoon's over, it's just a relationship. It's not fun anymore, and it's not exciting anymore. If you do not think that you can get to that place with Jesus Christ, you've got another thing coming. Some of you are here this morning only because it's Sunday. No other reason. You didn't come to get anything from God. You didn't come expecting anything from God. You didn't come expecting the Holy Ghost to deal with your heart. You just came to church because that's what you do. Amen. Man, if you've been saved many years, you can't help but get in that place every now and then. That's why about once a year we have revival. We have a time for us. We hadn't advertised this. We send out flyers all over the country for our camp meeting. We want people to come. And we prepare meals and food. And we end that thing in a big day at the park. And we do a little work. Listen, we're not working this week. Amen. We're coming to get fed. We're coming to get what we need in our hearts. Somebody in our church, if I find out exactly who it is, I'm going to say something. Somebody in our church said something about our teens going to New Manna in April. It's sometime this month, May. Going to New Manna in May. And here's what the statement was. And I want you to know that the person who made this statement is an absolute idiot. And if you're sitting in this room this morning, you're an idiot. And if you can't handle that, Brother Jason will meet you out back as soon as church is over. Amen. I'd make sure he had me there. Amen. You're an idiot. This is a statement. I don't see why we go to all the trouble to send them kids up there to that youth rally. They come home excited, but it wears off. Hey, idiot, look at me. Yours has too. You might have come out the back end of camp meeting excited about the things of God. What happened to your excitement? Amen. You want to point at a bunch of kids and say, what good does it do? They'll get excited and it'll wear off. Hey, every time I get excited, it wears off. I get weary and I get tired and I get caught up in the battle and the flesh and everything else. And it's not always exciting. But thank God we got a place where we can come and let the Spirit of God stir in our heart and we can get it re-excited. Amen. Them kids will go to youth rally, Brother Fred. They will get excited. For some of them, it will wear off. I got some sitting in the choir this morning. Sisters right there. They got excited one time. They still excited. Am I right about it? Are you still excited? Hallelujah. Maybe one of these days you'll get excited and just stay there. Wouldn't that be good? Kind of reach that point of no return. I'm praying somebody will get to a place this week where they go, this is good. I'm not going back there anymore. I like it right here where God is and where God's been. I'll preach in a minute. Somebody's going, read your scripture. I will. I'm doing this. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm excited. I left Colorado. We had a hard time getting there, had a hard time getting home. Took us 30-something hours to get home. In an airplane and a rental car. I'm tired, but I'm excited. Do you know you can be both? Yeah. Amen. I'm tired and excited. I don't feel good. My sinuses, man, I started to find a house out there. I'll be honest with you. 2 days in them Colorado Rockies, my sinuses were gone. Yeah. Clear as a bell. I stepped off the plane in Memphis, Tennessee, and humidity, I guess. But I'm excited. Man, I went out there and watched what God's doing with one of our little old boys, one of our little old girls, man, who got married and started having babies and moved to Colorado and started a church out of nothing. Him little old bus kids come in every night and fist bump me and high five. One little girl, she fist bumped me and she said, do it again, it's got to blow up. She said, it didn't blow up. I said, well, come on, let's blow it up. And then I was fist pumping them kids. I mean, they never heard two preachers in the same service in their entire life. Neither had the adults, as far as that goes. And those children, Brother Freddie, they didn't get up and go to the bathroom. They sat on the edge of their seats, but a Google-eyed like that right there. I thought, dear God, would y'all come back with me to Happy Valley? Some of y'all are laid back. Some of you's eyes closed and you're not meditating. You're asleep, bless God. Hey, how long's it been since you have been excited to hear the preaching of the Word of God? I'm excited. Amen. I'm excited. Problem is you've heard it and heard it and heard it. And heard it. Sad, but reality is something bad has to happen in your life before you start seeking God in a bad way. I've been pastoring 21 years. I know what I'm talking about. You let trouble come. Oh, Brother Eddie, pray. Put it on the prayer sheet. Put it on the prayer line. It's been a long time, Brother Freddy, since somebody came and said, would you put me on the prayer line? I need revival. Never got that request. Brother Eddie, would you pray for me? My heart ain't where it ought to be. Never have had that request. We get concerned about the physical. We get concerned about the financial. We get concerned about our earthly relationship. And the root of the problem is it may be our spiritual relationship. I just knocked my microphone off. Revival. We need it. Saying we, I'm including me. You said, boy, this ain't good for Sunday morning. Sure it is. You know why it's good for Sunday morning? Some of you won't be back tonight. Amen. So if you're going to get it, it's got to be Sunday morning. Amen. As soon as I get this wound up, I'm going to wind it up and turn me loose. Amen. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 12. I tell you what, let's find out who this letter is written to. Look at verse number 1. Are you there? The Bible says, Simon Peter, there's your author, a servant, or we know the Holy Ghost is the author, but he's penning it. A servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, that's who the letter's to, that have, say the word with me, obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Who's it to? Who's it to? It's to us. It's not to the drunk down in the bar. It's not for the murderer on death row, though he may glean from it, he may get something out of it. But it's written to those who are born again, those who raised their hand and said, I'm saved. Are you listening to me? This is who the letter is written to. I want you to look with me at verse number 12. Watch what he says to this church. He said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in, say the next word with me, remembrance of these things, though you know them. Now listen. He said, even though you know them, here's what he's saying, I'm going to be a constant reminder. I'm going to be a constant reminder. I'm going to put you in remembrance, even though you know these things, I'm going to nag at you. Oh, well, he's just preaching about salvation again. Yeah, if you get excited about it, I'll preach something else. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Some of you get more excited about Christmas and the 4th of July than you do your salvation. Amen. You're more excited about a vacation to Florida than you are going to heaven when you die. Amen. Amen. He said, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Verse 13, he said, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. Now watch what he says. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I didn't come this morning to give you some deep doctrinal thought. I didn't come this morning to preach a great salvation message and see hundreds of sinners saved, which that would be good. I came here for one reason this morning, and that is to stir you up. Let me say it again. I come to stir you up. I come to stir you up to get you excited again about what God has already done. I come to remind you of what you already know. Amen. I want you to look at a couple of things with me this morning. I said salvation is a relationship, and I'm here to stir you up about it this morning. Are you saved? Say amen.
Amen.
We need to get excited and stirred up about our relationship with Christ. Amen. Our relationship with Christ. When I think about that, Brother William, it overwhelms me that I have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth. And listen, what that relationship is. Brother Jason and I, we have a relationship. It is a friend relationship. Are you listening? Brother Greg and I have a relationship. It is a friend relationship. My mother is sitting there and we have a relationship. It is a kin relationship. When I got saved, I developed a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it is? It is a father and son relationship. I'm glad Jesus is a friend of publicans and sinners, but our relationship goes beyond friendship. Hey man, it's sonship. I was lost and a sinner on my way to hell, but Romans chapter, I believe it's number 5. I have received the spirit of adoption whereby I can cry, Abba, Father, man. Hey, you need to get excited about your salvation. Your relationship with Christ. We sing a song, glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. Hey man, it's been a long time since some of you lifted your hand and just said, glory, I'm saved. Amen. Amen. I hear about people's problems all the time. I hear about difficulty. I hear about trouble. I hear about trial. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Yeah. Are you saved? Or do you know for sure you'll go to heaven when you die? Well, what's your problem? I remember that evangelist with cerebral palsy, David Ring. I remember the first time I watched him on television, and I sat there and cried the whole time. Anybody ever watch David Ring? I remember a statement he made in that first time I ever heard him. He was at the Franklin Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, Brother Jerry Falwell's church, and he was preaching there, and I was watching on TV, Brother Charles, and he spoke with a speech impediment because of the cerebral palsy, and he looked at that church, and here's what he said. He said, I have cerebral palsy. What your problem? How about that? Amen. I've been to Scottish Rite. What's your problem? Amen. I've seen the little babies with the hair burn off their head and no eyebrows on their face because of the cancer. What's your problem? Hey, here we sit, born again, saved, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we can do is complain about this and complain about that. Hey, I'm saying we ought to rejoice in the fact that we are saved. Been a long time since some of you got excited about it. A couple Sunday nights, Brother Jesse got up in church and he was standing over there in the middle and boy, he just got to testifying. I mean, boy, he is letting her rip. He is excited. Talking about the goodness of God. We got out to the truck. Miss April, my wife, was standing out there talking, and I walked by and I said, Brother Jesse, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that testimony. She said, that wasn't no testimony, that was preaching. She is aggravating. It was. It was good preaching. I like it when we get so excited we can't contain ourselves. That we just, how long's it been since it bubbled up in you so much that you couldn't sit still? You had to stand up and say something about it. Brother David Connell, I don't know where he is. He's usually at the back door. He's walking around here somewhere. He got so excited a few weeks ago, he testified, stopped, then testified some more, stopped, and then he couldn't stop. He just kept till he come all the way down the aisle, man, just worshiping God. You say, well, that's out of order. Not here it ain't. There's a place or two they'll set you down. Not here. Amen. Long as God's in it, we in it. Amen. We ought to get stirred up about our relationship with Christ. Listen, man, my life sometimes is a mess, but I'm saved. I don't do what I should all the time, but I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm not in a church this morning that believes if I mess up, I got to get saved again. I'd never know if I was or wasn't. Which sin is it? Well, if you sin, you lose your salvation. Which one? That phone rings. Oh, if that's for me, I'm not here. You're going to hell. You finna bust hell wide open, you better get saved again. Don't die on me now. You just lied. Amen. You go to sell that car and the buyer says anything wrong with it. As far as I know, everything's great. Look at Brother Robbie turn red. Somebody help me. You go in hell. If you believe you can lose your salvation, you finna bust hell wide open. Which sin? Come on, somebody tell me. Which one? Jimmy Swaggart preached that stuff for years. I love Jimmy Swaggart. Ain't nobody in the world other than Brother Todd. I like to hear play the piano. Boy, he pop. Boy, whoo, I like to hear that man play. Oh, no doubt about it. Preach? My goodness, he can preach. But he preached you'd lose your salvation. He got caught with prostitutes and didn't lose his. Come on, which one? Which sin is it? Lying don't lose it. Cheating don't lose it. What you got to do? Kill the Pope? Y'all all right? I'm glad I'm eternally saved. Amen. I'm glad I am eternally saved. No matter what's going on, I still have reason to rejoice because I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is that relationship with many is like a lot of marriages. It's still a relationship. Your name's still on the book in the courthouse. It's just got cold. Amen. Our lives get so entangled. It's fixed to get good, James. I wouldn't stay gone long. Our lives get so entangled with the lives of everybody else that sometimes if me and Sister Angie ain't careful, we forget about us. We do. And every now and then, we just have to say, hey, we need a little time. We need to spend a little time together. We go on vacation. I had a couple in the church ask one time, why don't we go on vacation together? Why don't we don't? I go on vacation to get away from you. Amen. How'd you like it if I just showed up at your vacation? Hey, how y'all doing? We were down in Panama City one year, and a dear friend of mine used to come to church. They don't anymore. We wound up in the same restaurant. I didn't know they were in town. They didn't know. They sure didn't know I was in town. Yeah. They were sitting there at their table and having adult beverage, if you will. I just walked up, pulled up a chair, and sat down. How y'all doing? Me and Sister Angie, we just went on a trip, but it wasn't vacation. Yeah. Why? Well, it was with him. Yeah. We went to church every night. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but it wasn't vacation. Yeah. You know what I call vacation? Me and her and nobody else. Yeah. Me and her at supper, making googly eyes at one another. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. A hotel by ourselves all week long. My wife tell me, I talk to everybody. My wife said, don't you talk to nobody? You don't need nobody on the beach? Don't you ask nobody where they from? Amen. We went to Jamaica, everybody there's from somewhere else. And people, I hear somebody say, good on you, mate. And I think, hey, are you from Australia? Yeah. My wife's like, shut up. You know what she's saying? It's not that I don't want you to be friendly. This is me time. This is my time. Yeah. We was on a date one night. I'll move on shortly. I know what time it is and don't care. Amen. We was on a date one night, Red Lobster. We hadn't been out forever. Somebody gave us some gift cards. We went to Red Lobster. We're sitting there in Red Lobster, and man, they just got our salad, and we fixing to dig in that salad. I'm fixing to say the blessing. My phone rung. It was Tommy Mann. My wife loves Brother Tommy. She thinks the world of him. But I looked at that phone and I said, it's Brother Tommy. She said, let it ring. I said, well, he's a deacon. Maybe something wrong. I answered it. When I hung up, I had a different wife than I did before I answered it. I answered the phone with a beautiful spouse on the other side of the table. I hung up the phone and looked up and I had a demon over there. I asked her a question. She said, call Tommy. I learned. I said, maybe after Red Lobster, we might could cuddle and smooch a little bit. Call Tommy. What I'm trying to say is your relationship needs some time without all the junk and without all the people. Just you and God curled up in an altar in your closet or by your bed somewhere and cry out, oh God, I need you. I need to feel your presence and your touch and your power. Hey, revival is a restoring of your relationship with Christ. You remember when? Think about it. It won't hurt you. Spend some time thinking about when you got saved. How many of you remember where you were? Yes, sir. You do, don't you? I say it all the time, Brother Stacy, but I can close my eyes and I can smell the pine straw in your Uncle Jay's front yard where I pray. That's as real to me as the fingers on the end of my hand. Amen. Somebody said, I don't believe in doubting your salvation. Well, you probably ain't saved. I've doubted mine a time or two. I've questioned myself, how could you do this if you're saved? How could you have these thoughts? How could you lose your temper? How could you do this? How could you do that? Boy, I go back every time. Lost in my sin. Undeserving of His mercy, undeserving of His grace. I bowed my head in that pine straw on Mulberry Rock Road at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and all I said was, oh God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. And something down inside me said, son, you ain't. Woo! For the first time in my life, I lifted my hands and I shouted glory. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. I got born again. Won't hurt you to go back there and just waller in that a little bit. Amen. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, do you have one? Did you know you can get so far away from God that you don't feel His presence anymore? It's not that you got unsaved, you just wandered too far from the shore. Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs used to sing an old song, "You're drifting too far from the shore." What happens when you drift too far from the shore? You can't even see to find your way back. You don't know which way to go. Can I be your lighthouse this morning? Can I be your beacon shining in the darkness? Hey, it's over here. It's over here. Come this way. Hey, find you an altar and rebuild and restir your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times has it been since you just stopped and said, I love you. I love you. Brother Todd sings a song. Brother Carl Partain used to sing, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Man, it wouldn't hurt none of us just to take about 30 minutes and just say, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. We need to stir up our relationship with Christ. We need to stir up our relationship with our family. You see, you get right with God, everything else comes second. Amen. Everything else will fall into place. If you're right with God, you'll have no problem being right with each other. Amen. Some of you men, you got a good wife and you ain't thanked her all week long. She's washed your filthy underwear. She's folded your socks. She's cooked your meals. She's swept your floors. Hey, I'm telling you, bless God, you got a good wife. You ought to stir up that relationship and say, honey, I love you and I appreciate you. You get right with God, you won't have any trouble doing that. Amen. Romance is not just for anniversary. It's for every single day. Are y'all listening to me? But listen, if you'll get number one right, you don't even need the rest of the points. People come in my office all the time for marital counseling. I want to say, sir, as far as you know, are you right with God? You know what the answer is going to be? Yep, I'm right with God. Ma'am, as far as you know, are you right with God? Oh, yes, sir, Brother Eddie. Well, get out of my office. If you're really right with God, you don't have marital trouble. Don't die on me now. If you love God like you ought to love God, you don't have no trouble loving your wife like you ought to love your wife. Man, I'd love to see a church revival, but I'd love to see a home revival. I'd love to see some people get stirred up about the things of God and then get stirred up about the family God's given them. I'm looking at Brother Tommy sitting there holding that little, whoo, ain't she gorgeous? That's the prettiest baby in the world to me. You know why? She wasn't supposed to be here. She ain't supposed to exist. Hey, science said no. The doctor said no. But we got a God in heaven who said yes. Man, thank God for our families. Look at your little brother, Sister Sheila, sitting there. I remember when he's in a hospital and shouldn't even live. I got to go out there and hug his neck this morning. I'm telling you, thank God for our family. Hallelujah. Man, my boy's sitting behind me on his platform. My children are saved. There ain't but one of them in church this morning. Katie's on vacation and Ashley's sick. My wife's at home sick. I ought to be. But thank God I got a good family. I know where they are. And they love the Lord and they love each other. Dear God, man, families claim to be saved and Christians can't get along with one another. Won't even go to a funeral because so-and-so might be there. Yours may be next. God's given you a good family. Boy, you'll be thankful. But Brother Jesse's sitting down here with his arm around that little old girl. We're going to baptize her tonight, brother. How about that, man? Y'all don't get it, do you? You just flat don't get it. Some of you got family in church this morning that you've been praying for years. And God's got them in the house of God trying to do better and do right. And you just sit there. Maybe that had come a long time ago. We'd got where we ought to be. You said, Brother Eddie, you shouldn't say that. Yeah, I should. Man, we're everyone guilty of it. We pray and God answers prayers. Well, praise the Lord. That's about the height of our excitement. Man, we ought to run laps with Brother Tommy. Amen. If he wasn't holding that baby, I'd tell him, go now, run. Amen. That scares most Baptists to death. How long has it been since you got excited? Sister Jennifer came in this morning, brought me, of all things, a New York Yankee t-shirt. So where in God's name am I supposed to wear this? I ain't got guts enough to wear that to a Braves game. She said, look on the back. It says Maddox is pastor. She said, you're going to wear it to his ball game on Friday night. Oh, I am. Brother Randy told me, Jesse, his first at bat, he hit a double. His second at bat the other day, he hit a home run about 20 feet over the fence. Is that right? Did you do like you just now did? We preaching now. Bless him, Lord. No. My youngin' hit a home run. Everybody in town's going to know it. Woo! Hallelujah. That's my boy right there. Hey! No, you can't do that at a Yankees game. What do y'all do? I'm giving her a hard time because she named the team. Yankees. Put a curse on that child. Our relationship with Christ, our relationship with our family. It ought to excite us like our kid hitting a home run that our family's in church this morning. Amen. That ought to thrill us to no end. Our relationship with Christ, our relationship with our family ought to be stirred up. Our relationship with each other ought to be stirred up. Thank God for this church. It ain't like no other I've ever been to in my entire life. We got people around the country who try to duplicate it. I'm serious. They come here and study it. Because they want what we got. And they ask me questions. Preacher, how'd you do this? How'd you do that? My answer is the same every time. I ain't got a clue. It's been the Lord. It's been the Lord every step of the way. Ain't no crowd like this crowd. Ain't no crowd loves on each other like this crowd. And sometimes ain't no crowd talks about each other like this crowd. Amen. That's the thing about family. We can fight, but we can get right. Amen. We'll talk about each other, but boy, better not nobody else. And we ought not to talk about each other. We ought to thank God we got a church family. Amen. I'm going to say it again. You ought to thank God we got a church family. I wouldn't embarrass anybody for nothing in this world, but multiple people in this room have needed help, and the people sitting around you reached in their pockets. Took of their earnings and put an offering plate for you. And then the devil will put it in your head. You ought to leave that church. They don't love you. You know what I want to do? I want to do just like Peter. Hey, don't you remember? Do you not remember the funeral home? Do you not remember the food? Do you not remember the tears? Do you not remember the love offerings? Hey, what's wrong with you? We do love each other. And man, we ought to get excited about that. Amen. Hey, people sitting at the house this morning because they think don't nobody love. We ought to stir up, bring to remembrance the times that we've been there for one another. I'll never forget when my boy was in the hospital and you were there. I'll never forget when my daddy died and you were there. I'll never forget having to tell that funeral director. That funeral director come to me and said, "You got to do something about all these people bringing us too much food." I said, "It's your job. They're a blessing to me. You were there." They sung that song this morning about the Lord being there. But man, I can remember time after time when you were there. And if you'll think about it, you can remember time after time when I was there. And you can remember time after time when others around this church have been there. There have been people in this church put money in a plate to help you out of a situation they didn't even know who they was helping. You okay? Well, we ought to remember. We ought to remember the times that we've had one another's back. And the devil will come in and try to convince you that church don't appreciate you, that church don't love you. Let something wrong happen in your life. Let something bad go on in your life. You should look around you, see who's there. Y'all okay? I go to visit somebody in the hospital and never fails. They'll say, "So-and-so just came by and you just missed so-and-so and so-and-so was here yesterday." But that don't happen everywhere you go. Amen. Amen. But it happens here. Amen. I go to see Miss Peggy down in the nursing home and buddy, she always has to tell me who's been to see her. What a blessing. There'll be something sitting on her table. I said, "Where'd you get that?" "Irene and Kristen came by." Yeah. What a blessing, man. We ought to stir up our relationship with Christ, our relationship with our family, and our relationship with each other. Let me give you this and I'm done. We ought to stir up our relationship with our church. I've often thought about when people join the church, make them repeat the marriage vows. I'm serious. For better. That's a better day when you join. Amen. Had people stand up and testify and say, "I'll never leave this church. If I ever leave, there'll be claw marks where they drug me out the door." Yeah. It was more like skid marks where they left out of the parking lot. Amen. Amen. For better or worse, we're going to have battles and we're going to have bad days. Let me tell you something. This is my church. Do you not think in 21 years I've never been offered the opportunity to leave? And I'm not tooting my horn, but I've been offered a package. I didn't know preachers got a package. I said, "What you talking about, a package?" And then he started explaining the package. And I was like, "Lord, do we need to pray about this?" I'm talking about a package. You said, "We're thinking about leaving the church." Me too. Let's sit down and think about it together. Let's consider. We know this King James Bible ain't going nowhere here. Let me say it again. We know this King James Bible ain't going nowhere here. Let me say it again. We know this King James Bible. I ain't getting enough help right there. We know this Bible ain't going nowhere. We know old time preaching ain't going nowhere here. We know this pulpit ain't going nowhere here. Hey, we know a suit and tie with a preacher ain't going nowhere here. We ain't going to have a bar stool. We ain't going to have a bouncing ball. We're going to have a song book and we're going to preach Jesus Christ. Let's think about leaving. One lady told me, said, I visited them in their house and said, "Well, we left the church because the kids like the music over there." You got mental problems. If you'll give up the Bible because your kids like the music over there. Contemporary Christian rock never saved nobody. Don't die on me. My judge, why don't you take them to a Bieber concert? Got the same difference. This is my church. You say, well, you got offered that big old package. Why didn't you leave? That wasn't my church. I was offered a church several years ago, three times the size of this one. Three times the salary that I make. Hey, it ain't just been once. It's been several times. The man said, would you pray about it? And I said, no. He said, you mean you won't even pray about it? I said, I don't have to. Yeah, but the package, don't have to pray. My flesh wants the package. Will you just send me the package and then I'll pray about it? Let me try the package out for a year. I'm going to say that next time. Then we'll decide. Send the package. Amen. Won't you even pray about it, preacher? Just pray about it for a few days? No. The fellow was offended. Well, I just don't understand why you wouldn't pray. Sir, I don't have to pray about the will of God when I already know what it is. This is my church. God put me here. And many of you said God put you here. But yet God put us here, but we'll allow circumstances and stuff other people say and do to affect where God put us. I don't care what you do. God put me here. This is my church. I don't mean I own it. This is the place God put me. I'm a member just like you are. Amen. This is my church. Brother Williams, this is your church. Brother Charles, this is your church. Well, we ought to get a little huffy about that every now and then. We get out in public and somebody says, I don't know about that Happy Valley. Hey, that's my church. That Eddie White's got a screw loose. I know, but that's my church. Amen. Levi was out knocking on doors one day and we was out on visitation. He knocked on right down the road here. He knocked on the lady's door. She opened the door. He said, hi, we're from Happy Valley Baptist Church. She said, I went to that church one time. That man is an absolute idiot, something like that. She ain't got a clue. She's talking to my son. He said, okay, have a good day. He didn't even defend me. My flesh, bone of my bone. All he could do is stand there and go, yep, that's us. It's my church. It's my church. I meet people. Listen, I'm pastoring where I grew up. Everybody in this part of the country knows me and knows what I used to be. I run into people that never fails. Does so-and-so really go to your church? Yeah. And I say, yeah, like, what? What about it? Yeah, they go to my church. Somebody asked me a while back, said, Stacy Bullock really go to your church? I said, yeah. Does he really wear a suit? It don't do any good, but yeah. You really let him take up the offering? Yeah. You sure he don't take none out of it? I defend you. You know why? Because it's not these walls, it's my church. It's you. You're my church. And I'm your church. And boy, we ought to recommit and stir that thing up. God gave us a good church. We ain't got everything right. We ain't the most polished. Shut up. Won't be no dignitary stopping by here anytime soon. But we're just who we are. We love God and we love each other. Well, we ought to recommit. This morning I sat down there in the office and got two checks out of my pocket and I started writing my tithes. I thought, boy, I'm glad I got a good church. I don't mind supporting this church. I'm glad my money's not going in some 401k. Or whatever you call it. Hey, man, that's a bunch of church. They got CDs. I thought that was something you listened to in the truck. They got them at the bank. We ain't got CDs at the bank. We got missionaries. We got bus children over here in the gospel. We ought to recommit to our church. Amen. Some of you got a lot of problems going on in your life because you've been robbing God. I know I've preached all over the place this morning. I might as well hit that too. Yeah. Amen. I've invited a preacher to drive 4 hours from South Georgia and bring his family. I've already booked him a hotel. Yeah. We're going to give him a check at the end of the week. Amen. And if y'all don't give and support this meeting, I'm going to steal a blank one out of one of your pocketbooks. I'm going to give the man a good love offering. He's going to go, wow, till he gets to the bank. Amen. We'll get behind our church. We got a Boston butt sale this week. Amen. Have you sold one? Man, it cost you nothing. Brother Stacy trying to raise about $7,000-$8,000. Man, he wants to buy a new ice machine for the kitchen. And ladies, hey, y'all ought to get behind that. We're to just recommit to our church. We got a work day coming up Saturday. Somebody says, is that not too much in 1 week? No, man, it's enough. Right. I'm looking forward to it. It'll do us good to be around here all week long. Right. It'll do us good to be around each other all week long. It'll do us good to have so much going on all at one time. Amen. I'm excited about it. Amen. Amen. Wonder if anybody's even noticed the front of Brooks Hall. Did you see that? Boy, it looks so much better. Well, they got up there and painted them columns and all that whole front yesterday. Boy, it looks good. And this is our church. Amen. We ought to get stirred up about our church. Amen. We ought to get stirred up about it. I wish somebody would get stirred up about keeping it clean like Brother James did. Amen. Amen. This is our church, man. We'll just fall in love with it again. Amen. I'm done preaching. Let's go all the way back to number one. Let's stir up our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I promise you, you won't have to worry about none of these others. Amen. Amen. Heard an old preacher say one time, if God has your heart, you don't have to worry about the wallet. Yeah. I heard that. If God has your heart, you ain't got to worry about whether or not you're going to give to the work of God. Amen. If God has your heart, you ain't got to worry about how you treat your family. Amen. If God has your heart, you ain't got to worry about how you're going to treat others. Amen. I come to stir you up this morning. Amen. I come to stir you up. When something sets too long, if it's got more than one ingredient, the heaviest ingredient will fall to the bottom. You know what I'm talking about? You ever get those bottles like medicine that says shake well before using? You know why? Because the good stuff is settled on the bottom. Everything on top's weak and won't help you a bit. Some of y'all need turned upside down. And shook real good. Because it's in you. You're saved by the grace of God. It's in you. It's just settled to the bottom. And all we're getting out of here is the weak stuff that's on top. Brother Todd, you come. Let's stand to our feet this morning. What are you pointing at? Yes. Praise the Lord, brother. Amen. Glory to God. Does that stir you up? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads this morning. I know it wasn't a salvation message, but you never know. I wonder if somebody's here this morning, you can't get stirred up about what you don't have. If you died right now, you're not sure heaven would be your home. I would sure love to pray for you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. If you just slip up your hand, say, Brother Eddie, remember me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you just slip up your hand, put it right back down? How about it this morning? God bless you, sir. Brother Eddie, don't want to die and go to hell. I need to get this thing settled in my heart. Pray for me. Pray for me. Preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, no doubt about it. But boy, my heart needs to be stirred again. I need the Lord to stir me up about my relationship with Christ, my relationship with my family, my relationship with others, my relationship with my church. Brother Eddie, pray for me. Look at their hands already up all over this building. Father, as we come before you this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, you've seen every hand. You know every heart. Please, Lord, have your way in this altar call. Send revival. Send revival. Lord, there's an old song that says, send the fire. Oh, Lord, send the fire. God, I pray you do just that. Have your way this morning. God, we'll give you glory for all you do, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.